This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds. You thought we were going away? You thought we were going to be gone? No, we're back here. We're ready to rock and roll with you guys as the Ryder Cup gets announced. Give you our thoughts on that. We'll see what we think is going to happen on the European side. Talk about the odds as well and what we might do from a betting standpoint. We'll close this thing out by talking to you about the Tour Championship. But guys, it is official. Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin, Cam Young, Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns are your captain's picks. Yes, you did not hear me say Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley did not choose himself. And Wes, right off the bat, you kind of look at this, and we had said this for several weeks heading in that we thought that Keegan was one of the 12 best players on the United States side heading into the Ryder Cup, but it was just a sticky position, right? I mean, you're doing the dual duty of being the captain and then also playing. Could that get in the way? Was that going to create controversy? Could this be one of the sticking points just because, again, while Keegan's been on a heater, you can look at his match play record and you can see certainly from a single standpoint has been pretty abysmal. And so putting himself on, people might criticize that and all of that, but ultimately he decides the best thing for the team is for him to sit it out, put the pairings together, and let these other six guys go at it.
I think from a storyline standpoint, there are a lot of us that were hoping that he would pull the Kelly Taylor in Beverly Hills 90210 and say, I choose me, what she said to Brandon Walsh and Dylan McKay at the end of the 1995 season. He did not. And I think he probably made the practical and selfless decision that I'm going to be the captain. They gave me this job, and I'm going to do it. Now, I think that he was clearly coming in. If he would have picked himself, I wouldn't have sniffed at it. I would have been like, you know what? Justified. He was one of the best 12 players on the American side for the better part of the last, not just this season, but the better part of the last year and a half. Whereas Colin Morikawa, by the way, has not been. And he was the guy that I thought, you know what? They're probably going to pick him, but he's going to be kind of fortunate to make this team based on how he played. Because today, he's not one of the 12 best American golfers. Holistically, he's absolutely one of the 12 best. But, man, I think Colin, I know he was announced last, and it was Burns that was announced last, even though Cam Young kind of stooged it off when they went to him on the Zoom call on the announcement this morning. But, you know, I think maybe Morikawa could have been the last guy on this team. And, you know, maybe this lights a fire under him because this could be, I guess, a blessing in disguise for the American side. It's like those guys were probably sitting there on them Zooms this morning like, you know what? One of us could have been off this team. He could have easily picked himself. So maybe that's a galvanizing thing for the American team. It's like, okay, this guy says he believes in us. We're going to take him at his word and go play like we believe in him. So the more I thought about it, the more I understood why Keegan Bradley came to that decision.
Yeah, I put out a tweet yesterday that the more I thought about it, the more I thought he was not going to pick himself. And I actually, you know, hey, listen, I don't say very many smart things. It's very rare for me to say smart things, but yesterday ended up being one of those smart days. I said, I don't think he's going to pick himself. I said, I think these are the six. It ended up being the six. And so, Kelly, I sat out. I let you go second here because I wanted to let you sit and stew over this. I know you were Keegan Bradley's number one fan. There's nobody that has bet Keegan Bradley more than you in America. Yeah, and so what do you think about Keegan saying, you know what, I'm not going to play. I'm going to sit this one out.
Just another case of the good guy finishes last. You know what I mean? It's just a good guy making a good guy decision and a good guy move, and he's going to suffer because of it. I think it sucks. I do think it sucks. I think that we talked about it all season. I think there was a chance this wasn't even a conversation, right? That he was not in this range of players, and he played so well. I actually think what really sucks is it really sounds like he made this decision a while ago. And I don't know, from when he first got pushed to be captain, all you heard was the outpour of love from the players and stuff. I really thought there was a chance that they were not going to let him, especially after recent finishes, after a win this season. I really thought the team was not going to let them go on without him being a part of the team. I really thought that's where this was headed. But look, it's a class move by him. It's just, man, it's just been a summer of no fun moves, you know? Like, I was looking forward to Jameis Winston starting football games, Anthony Richardson starting football games, Keegan Bradley playing and captaining a Ryder Cup team. I don't know. It's just boring. I will say, like, I think I would have picked Keegan. Who would I have left off? I think it's interesting to hear Wes say he thinks Morikawa was the last guy. I don't really know who was the last guy to make the cut. I guess to me it was probably more likely Cantlay, which is, I guess, odd that it's even those two that we're talking about right now. But
I looked more into that. Sorry, Kelly. I looked more into that.
You're good.
15-6 in the Ryder and the President's Cup lifetime. So
yeah, I know.
He has, and I even said that this morning. I was like, you need an agitator on this team. You need somebody that gets under the opposite team's skin, and he's not like a real vocal guy. In fact, he's real stoic and doesn't really give you much.
But Wes, what if he gets under the your own team's skin?
He can do that too.
He's got to get under their skin
too.
He could do that too.
Xander Schauffele is probably like, because I'm guessing that's who they're going to partner, because they always partner together because they're friends. Xander Schauffele is probably like, I'm used to this bullshit. I'm used to this 50-second waggle. All I was going to say is, put Patrick Cantlay on freaking tape delay, please. You know, like when you're going to another match, go to another match in the foursomes or in the four ball, and then go to Dan Hicks moments ago, Cantlay. Because they showed where he was on the tee with Fleetwood. He was in the final group. We'll get to Fleetwood in a minute with the Tour Championship. But, you know, he's in the final group. And Dan Hicks, who's the lead announcer for NBC's golf coverage, is just getting annoyed. Because he's just taking forever. And that's the way it's going to be. It is going to be, you think it was a slow pace at, like, the Tour Championship. It'll be glacial at Bethpage Black.
Well, they can do it a few different ways,
picks,
then.
Yeah,
you can have the Bryson approach. Yeah, I was just going to say, you got different ways. You can have the Cantlay bore them to death, and then Bryson get, like, overly aggro about something, and that will get in their heads, too. So we're gonna hit them from two different sides with that, Wes. That's how it's going to work.
Yes.
Yeah, if we look at the six captains' picks, I think there's warts on all of the players, maybe outside of Ben Griffin. Ben Griffin has been very consistent on the tour this year, and I think he was the guy that – I think he's a guy that we all would have been like, had he been left off, we all would have been like, to use the word that you just used, I'd have been like, okay, that's bullshit. Like, if you want to talk about leaving a dude off, like, if this is any sort of merit-based at all, Ben Griffin played his way onto this team. Ben Griffin not on the radar at all, on anyone's radar. If you would have taken our predictions as to who was going to be the 12 players and then told us to pick the next three that got left off, Ben Griffin was not going to be on our list. I can assure you that was not going to be on any of our lists. And so this is
when
a dude that played his way onto this team.
If we're
before
making
the
this
season
list
started.
Before the season, you could have gone down 40 more spots before I probably even mentioned Ben Griffin. Yeah. Three spots.
Keegan even said that in the press conference today. He's like, he wasn't even on the radar.
Yeah.
That guy earned his spot. I mean, that guy earned his way onto this team. Now, these other you can say what you want about Cantlay and Burns and Morikawa and all that. I think all that criticism is absolutely fair, right? I mean, Sam Burns did play much better towards the – and it's kind of the Cam Young thing as well. Like, Sam Burns played better over the last month and a half, 2 months of the season, kind of the same deal with Cam Young. Justin Thomas was kind of – always just middling all year. He was never really bad. He was never really good. He was just kind of always middling. If you want to go ahead and say that's not good enough, I would at least listen to your argument. Cantlay obviously had the worst season we've seen from him in half a decade. So there's that. Certainly is a wart on him. And then Morikawa, Wes already laid it out about Morikawa. He hadn't been able to find it all year long. One top 10 for him.
That's
This year with Colin Morikawa. Yeah. So it's just one of those things where, you can't say that the same thing about Ben Griffin. And so, guys, when we come down to this, I do think with Keegan's thought process here is it does take some of the drama away when the biggest snub is yourself. Like, you are the biggest snub in all of this, right? Like, no one's going to point and say, dude, you really should have taken Mav McNeely. Now, should Mav made it over Colin? In my opinion, yeah. But, I mean, that's I'm not Cat whatever. But Mav doesn't deserve it over Keegan. So the biggest snub is actually the dude who chose not to put himself on the
there
team.
There were no egregious omissions necessarily. Because, Maverick McNeely, Andrew Novak, you know, a couple other guys, you know, had some solid years. But there was nobody like years ago when, like, Billy Horschel won the FedEx Cup. And he didn't make the team because it was kind of like too late, I guess, for him, even though he won an event and won the cup, where it's like there was not that like hot player where it's like, oh, my God, how do we leave him off the team and put this guy on?
Yeah, I need to be fair. This is I think Keegan should be absolutely be on this team. But yeah, you said it right, Matt. I mean, he is the. I don't know who was the last guy to make it on because this was the next six. The only other guy that I could really make an argument for is Keegan Bradley. And sure, I think Maverick McNeely, all those guys played great. I think it's clear though that it was six of those seven to me. So sure, I think vibes around the team and everything, it will all be good. This is the good guy move to make. But if it was anybody else, I'd be much more upset. I would be much more upset because he did pick the six best guys to roll into this with.
And Wes, like, I look at this and like, you know, Keegan, as far as like taking one for the team or whatever, I mean, maybe there was some self-reflection too, because like I mentioned at the top, he has been abysmal in singles matches. I mean, he's been absolutely atrocious. So he might have looked at himself and said, man, if I can only play myself in the pairing, like whenever I have a teammate, then I'm doing the team a disservice, right? Because like, if I can only play one way on this team and I can't contribute from the singles aspect, then picking me actually isn't the best
thing. Yeah, everybody has to play singles, by the way, because you can hide certain guys in foursomes or in the best ball, the four ball, but nowhere to run, nowhere to hide in singles. You got to be matched up with somebody on the other side and against who we'll get to momentarily, a very darn good European contingent that by and large is staying the same from 2023 when they handed Team USA another defeat in Italy.
Yeah, it's Kelly, at the end of the day, it is a team that is definitely solid and has a bunch of solid picks and all of that. It's one of those where I do so looking at this team going, man, those top six, rock solid. Ben Griffin certainly had a really balanced season overall, but boy, could we say some things about the other five players for sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. I absolutely could. But, look, man, I think all around this is the best group of guys you were going to come up with. I can be upset Keegan's not making it on, but everybody brings their strengths. There's some weaknesses, sure, to go around. I think this is the best group they could have picked.
So over on the European side of things, from a name value standpoint, Wes, it certainly seems like the name value that is attached to the European side is much stronger than the American side.
Yeah, no question about it. And by the way, that team is going to be announced next Monday for Team Europe. Luke Donald going to go ahead and make that announcement. The six, by the way, that are already automatically qualified: Rory McIlroy, Robert McIntyre, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Rose, Rasmus Højgaard, and Tyrrell Hatton. This time, it looks like we're just going to have a twin swap between Rasmus and Nikolai Højgaard. Nikolai was on the team in Italy back in 2023, and this time it's Rasmus. So those are the six qualified players. We expect that the captain's picks are going to be John Rahm, Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka, Ludwig Aubert, and more than likely Victor Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick, Harry Hall, certainly in the mix. I think Marco Penge could be in the mix as well. Mm-hmm. But I think the 12 names I gave are basically the team, which means 11 of the 12 that played in Italy going to be coming to Bethpage Black.
Yeah, you look at Rahm, he's going to, I would say, is like 99.9% in. And then all the other names that you mentioned, they could really basically just go right down the point standings. And that's the everyone that you just mentioned, Wes. And so, Kelly, you look at it. I mean, Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka, Ludvig Åberg, Vic Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick. If you're talking about guys that we have bet from an outright perspective or a top 10 perspective or a top 20 perspective all season long to go ahead and throw in with Tommy Fleetwood and Bob McIntyre that are already automatically in, I mean, these are guys that we have certainly have way more dollars invested in 2025 than we do on the American side.
Yeah, absolutely. It actually feels like this is more of an American thing usually of the – Like the Euros are, I don't want to say they're getting screwed because I don't think those guys, I think they'd still want most of these guys on the team, but it's like you're kind of already got Justin Rose and Rasmus in there, like locked, right? Like, I think you'd ideally like a little bit more wiggle room than that, but I mean, I think you're right. I think it just makes the next six relatively easy. Although I'm with you, Wes. I don't know if, like, I think Harry Hall's probably more in play than we're making it out to be right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, think that short game has just been tremendous all year, and you kind of need a specialist.
I guess my only thing would be is who does he bump? And
I don't know. I don't know
if you could. I don't know if you could bump any of those guys.
Because right? you're going Lowry, Straka, like, Oberg, Hovland, Rahm for sure. Right, for sure. That's fine.
And it's already. Like, is Harry Hall better than Matt Fitzpatrick?
No, you gotta take
I don't know that he is. I think Matt Fitzpatrick played very good golf in the second half of the season and is used to this new caddy now. Remember, he and Billy Foster split at the Players. So, and he's experienced. You know, he's been through this before. So, and he's kind of an analytical player, which you would think would fit Ryder Cup very well because that's what you're looking at when you're looking at pairing players. And creating individual teams. So I'd be hard-pressed to say that Matt Fitzpatrick's not making this.
Yeah, also, like, you just go compare those two head-to-head, right? It's like, hey, Harry, what do you do well? Like, oh, you're really good. You're a really good short game and you're a really good putter. Like, well, Matt Fitzpatrick is a really good putter, too, and he's got a much more evolved rest of his game.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it's not the six that we named. And so we kind of know what that team's going to look like, which puts us at the odds that we have right now, which is -145 in that neighborhood for the Americans over the European team. If you're going just straight up +115, if you add the three-way, you're getting an extra little bit on Europe there with that one because the tie comes into play. So as high as +150. Out there in this one, and I don't want to have tipped our hand a little bit as we were talking about all this, but I mean, yeah.
Pop quiz, how many ties have there been? How many ties in Ryder Cup history?
Oh, I'm going to say one.
You mean, I'm going to say eight.
Two.
Wow, only two?
Yeah. Yeah, only two.
I would have thought in the early years there were a lot of those, like, like ties because there were less matches. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this, Kelly. This is not going to be the year for the tie in this because let me tell you, Europe's going to win. I hate to say it as an American, as a proud American. Obviously, my rooting interests. I will be glad to lose this bet. Like, there are a few bets I think we make every year, right?
Yeah.
That you feel good losing, and I'll tell you. We'll talk about one that actually I lost. Wes did, but here in just a second. But like, I feel good about putting about losing the money that I will bet on Team Europe. However, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think that team is much stronger. You look at this course they're going to be playing. It's a whole bunch of dudes that hit it a pretty long way. It's a whole bunch of dudes that navigate the stuff pretty well. They don't have all of the first timers that we have. It's just a deal where I kind of feel like the bet is the +150. On Team Europe. Wes, if I was to give you a free 100 Matt bucks and say, you got to go make a bet on this today, where are you putting your free 100 Matt bucks?
Three-way Europe to lift the trophy at +115, because that does give you, and shop around, you might get a little better. You might get some 120 or 25 out there, but it also brings the tie into play, because if there is a tie, the team with the trophy retains the trophy, and that would be the Europeans who come here as the defending event champions. So, yeah, I just so much experience from this European team. Keep in mind, even though I think this is a very solid American team, you have four rookies: Ben Griffin, Cameron Young, Russell Henley, JJ Spawn. So you got four rookies on this team, and you and with the European team, all these guys have played, except for the other Højgaard, that being Rasmus, who's going to give it a go this time around. And Luke Donald, I think, pressed all the right buttons. You know, it's kind of funny. I think it might have been our colleague Dave Ross, who I was having a conversation with, when he talked about how Luke Donald at the introductory press conference started, like, speaking Italian to the crowd. And as ridiculous as this sound, you felt like this is over. Like, they know how to run this operation. Before they even hit a damn shot, before you lost 4-0, the Americans, in the first session, then you really knew it was over. But you felt like this is over. Like, they've got this organized. They've got this ready to go. This is a, you know, tip-top first-class operation. Now, I think Keegan Bradley is going to do a better job as captain for Team USA. I felt very good about what I saw out of Keegan Bradley. And I'm not a big win the press conference guy, but I felt like he's got his head and you-know-what wired together on this. So I think this will be very competitive. But the Europeans, this is just – the structure has been so much better for this operation, and that's why they win. And the camaraderie in the team, and that's why they win. Whereas I feel like USA – I don't feel like all these guys are like buddies, right? You know, I feel like there's different little groups on the team, whereas there probably are with the Europeans too, but – I feel like there's a lot more of a togetherness with this European bunch.
Kelly, I'm going to give you a free $100, and you are going to make the bet today where?
I'm creating a bet slip right now over at DraftKings because somehow they have 9,000 props up already. And the one I have added is I would like to bet right now Scotty Scheffler at -250 to be a top 3 point scorer for the United States. So can I use your $100 for that, or do I actually have to pick a side?
No, you have to bet a winner. Come on, a winner.
He's betting Team Europe without Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah.
Europe plus 150, 150. Skip the tie. They're just going to win the damn thing.
It hurts to say, and like I said, I will be glad to lose the bet. But I think if I'm betting just with my head and not my heart, and the model's going to tell me the same thing, and everything's going to tell me whenever we go in and run all this stuff that is the side of this to bet. Of course, guys, we will have a full breakdown of everything once the team is formally announced on the European side. We'll give you the thoughts on the course. We'll give you the thoughts on what we think about all these different prop bets that Kelly's pulling up on your screen. And yeah, right now, which already are up. So
we don't even... Yeah, God, that's a lot for not knowing team and the other team and the bearings.
This is another good one. Captain's pick to be a top point scorer plus 125 with all those Europeans you're going to get. I like that.
And also with Team USA, I did look this up. The captain's picks over the last six Ryder Cups are 30, 49, and 8. So the captain's picks have been atrocious for Team USA over the last six. And that includes where there was one at Whistling Straits, which was actually a very good year and certainly above 500. But, man, there have been some bad captain's picks. So these six are going to get the most scrutiny, and that's no different this time around.
So, guys, we just wrap up, and those are our thoughts here on Ryder Cup. Like I said, much, much more to come from us here on the podcast. But final thoughts here as we get done. Over at East Lake, the final 30 teed it up, and a feel-good story as Tommy Fleetwood gets it done. I talked about that there are some bets that you feel really good losing. I had those distant futures that were sitting out there on Corey Connors and Victor Hovland. I was glad to have those bets go down in flames. Wes gets it home with Tommy Fleetwood in the 30-person field. I don't want to hear anyone talk about that it wasn't a real win. He played his way into the playoffs. He played his way into the final 30, and he played better than everybody did to win a tournament with the 29 other best golfers in the world at that point. And so I'm taking nothing away from Tommy Fleetwood. And how could you, if you were watching that scene unfold as all of his friends, everybody was hanging around. They wanted to be there to hug him, to dap him, to do whatever. Justin Rose, the cameraman catching Justin Rose, filming the final putt getting made, all of the stuff, and then everything you see, the outpouring on Twitter afterwards of everybody talking about the nicest guy on tour, the best guy on tour, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Wes, he had given so many different speeches as to why he couldn't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And he handled it with class and he handled it with grace. And the fact that he was able to finally give the speech of how he did get it done, it was one of the coolest moments in golf for me in quite some time, specifically knowing that he really is one of the good guys.
Yeah, look, whether it's 30 players or three players, he's not giving back that $10 million that he wins for the FedEx Cup, and I'm not giving back my slightly less than $10 million that I won on this tournament. So, yeah, it was the feel-good moment of the year, and you could tell so many people in that gallery in Atlanta were pulling for him. You had celebrities. You had LeBron James, who I guess is getting to be a golf addict now. Like, he's finally gotten into the game. You had Caitlin Clark, like, is this Tommy's day? And honestly, this is going to sound silly and absurd. When she tweeted that, like, before the round, this has to be Tommy's day, right? I kind of felt like a little bit of feel good, like maybe this is going to be his day. You know, this isn't going to be like Memphis where, you know, you got hitting the short hair, shall we say, if you were on Tommy Fleetwood. But yeah, feel good moment of the year and, you know, holding off a lot of these contenders. I know Scotty wasn't right there. By the way, can we say Scotty Scheffler is the official Long Shots podcast player of the year? Can we go ahead and do that? I know we didn't meet about this, but
we don't even need. Yes, absolutely.
I didn't know we needed to say it.
He's like pressing. He's like pressing to like maybe make some noise in this tournament, and like couldn't make a putt to save his freaking life. And like that's how good he is, just everything else, because he's missing 4-footers and missing 5-footers, and you look up the leaderboard and you're like, oh shit, here he comes again. Like, you're just like, oh my God, how the hell is he rocketing up the leaderboard?
And Tommy Fleetwood just able to, you know, and playing with Patrick Cantlay, like I was saying earlier, probably not the easiest thing, but maybe it worked to Fleetwood's advantage because it allowed him to just kind of like stay calm because he knew he was going to have a weight damn near on every hole. I think they were like 2 holes behind Henley and was Henley's playing partner in the second to last group. They were like 2 holes behind. So it's like, you know, it allows Fleetwood to kind of breathe and stay in the moment because the moment is lasting a lot longer. So he wasn't pressed. He wasn't having to rush things. So it might have actually worked out for him.
Yeah, Kelly, maybe he could just channel all of his, like, inner hate that he had for himself for not being able to get any of these done and just channel his hate towards Cantlay because, like, it seems like such an easy thing to do. One, the way that he plays, and then that face of his, it's just the most punchable face on the PGA
such
Tour.
A punchable
like, I mean,
face.
It's just like.
So
like,
punchable.
Oh, it's just such a punchable face. But I know you felt the same way that we did. It's just, you know, watching that unfold, watching him get that done, seeing not only what it meant to him, but honestly, what it meant to everybody else out there was just unbelievable. I know Rory completed the career Grand Slam, and I know up until that moment, that was the moment of the year. To me, this booted that as the moment of the year because that was something just incredibly, incredibly special.
Yeah, I guess I would say for me, it's probably the moment of the year too. But but I also love the chaos factor. I do love that the. Look, we can say it. There will be people that bring up, though, the fact that he got his one win in a 30-man field. Like, that will be said. Mm-hmm. And it's this was the most chaotic possible finish to a FedEx Cup playoff format that we really have no idea what really the future is of this. They changed it once again this year. Now you get the new CEO coming out and talking about major overhauls of the PGA Tour. So who the hell knows what like this is going to look like a few years from now. But look, Tommy, like we'd get mad at the guy. I mean, and I'm talking like all of 6 weeks ago, we'd get mad at him for doing like these charming interviews after he just finishes second or he just gets done with his round and he knows he's going to lose just barely again. And man, he kept showing up every week like that. That's what was so impressive. I think down the stretch of the season, it wasn't just the tour championship. And I think that's where you said it right, Matt, of he played his way in, right? He didn't let up every damn week down the stretch. He was there. So it was awesome to see. And yeah, it's look, everybody loves him. The ratings were insane. TV ratings were insane. Like, this is a guy that everybody's wanted to root for a long time. And, you know, you become a storyline with how many second place finishes. And, you know, we root for the dog, right? We want to see the dog get home every once in a while, especially when it's been a streak like that. So it was awesome to see.
Yeah, you know, and to kind of put a bow on this, you mentioned about the format. Listen, it's better than the starting strokes format for sure. That said, there has to be some reward for Scottie Scheffler doing what Scottie Scheffler did. And so we have to figure out, I think we just have to say the FedEx Cup champion is Scottie Scheffler.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a playoffs, right? Like it's like
one event and make it a ton of money.
The FedEx Cup champion is Scottie Scheffler. You should get an award and praise and
Agreed.
All the stuff for being the best player on tour for the entire season, right? So the FedEx Cup champion is Scottie Scheffler. And then we go to the FedEx playoffs, in which you play your way in and you can still win a shitload of money and all the stuff like that. And we'll still have fun with it and it'll still be great and whatever, and we'll talk about it and blah, blah, blah. But like, look. Yes, is Tommy Fleetwood technically the FedEx Cup champion? No, but the FedEx Cup champion is Scottie Scheffler. I mean, like you have to be crowned something for doing what Scottie did this year, and instead it's like it's not going to go down that way, and that's just, you know, that's a broken system, right? Like that's just a broken system. This is supposed to reward the most consistent player over the course of the season. Well, it wasn't even close. Like. Rory would have had to have won like three of the last five tournaments of the year to even sniff the point total that Scottie had accumulated over the course of the, I mean, it's like, it's just insane. Wes, I'm sure you've given this some thought and whatever. And I know we don't have it all figured out, but it just seems crazy to me that you go an entire 33 weeks of a season, and you're the most dominant player on the planet by a large margin, and you will not go down as the FedEx Cup champion. That just seems crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of gimmicky. It's very much like a, you know, like what the NASCAR point system was, where you had, I think many years ago, you had a guy that didn't win a race that won the points because he was always consistent and had top fives and top tens. But you want to reward victory. You want to reward guys that win. Keegan Bradley even brought that up today during the Ryder Cup press conference, even though there were a couple guys that hadn't won in about 2 or 3 years, namely Morikawa and Cantlay. But anyway, you want to reward wins, I think. That's what you were judged by here. And, it does seem kind of unfair to Scheffler, our official long shots player of the year. A couple other awards I'm going to say Aldrich Pottjeter, by the way, is the rookie of the year because he was the only rookie to win on tour, and he actually should have won twice. Not that I'm bitter about Mexico when Brian Campbell hit it off the tree, but he should have won twice.
You got Tommy Fleetwood home finally, Wes. Like,
I know, so I can't have it all. Beggars can't be choosers. Comeback player of the year, by the way, J.J. Spahn, of course. Man, that guy damn near lost his card a couple years ago. Now he's the U.S. Open champion and the number 2 point qualifier on the American Ryder Cup team. And then feel-good moment, man. I have tough time deciding between Tommy and between Rory. Maybe Rory because it was over a decade long. In the making for him to finally win that Masters and how topsy-turvy that round was. But, man, you know, pretty darn good season, I think, on the PGA Tour for all of us from a betting standpoint and I think for an entertainment standpoint, even as the game becomes more divided than ever.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Couldn't have said it better. And you know, Kelly, as we kind of look at the way that this tournament broke down, I mean, you know, the schedule did come out. We'll have a whole podcast on the new schedule. You and I talked a little bit about it when I was on a numbers game. You know, maybe we're oversaturating this a little bit. Like, I think golf is in a pretty good spot right now, and we've got stars. We've got young up and comers. We've got a little bit of momentum. Nobody cares about LIV at all. I mean, you can look at the ratings. They're miserable. Like, I mean, like no one cares about LIV in the least bit. And so golf's in a pretty good spot, but it needs to figure out things here. Like playing 35 events. Do we need to play 35 events? Maybe not. You know, I mean, football season goes away And when it's gone, all we talk about is football. I know it wouldn't be the same thirst for golf that we get for football, but man, maybe make us miss it a little bit. Maybe, like, you know, take it away. Maybe we don't need the fall swing or whatever, and all these different little things. But there is, we're in a good spot with a bunch of good players and a bunch of young up and coming players, and we need to really hone this thing in.
Yeah, I think we're in a pretty good spot. I don't know if the I agree. I feel a lot better where we're at than a couple years ago. That's for sure. Because I think the live thing is, it's become a bit of a joke. It's an afterthought at this point. I don't know. I'm not tuning in regularly, and we do a golf betting podcast. It's just, look, these guys got a bag. They took it. And it's, you know, you could always ask yourself this question, no matter what job you have in America. Would you rather go take a bag of money to go somewhere where nobody's going to notice your work? Or would you rather work hard and stand out and actually make a name for yourself? And I think there's a lot of examples on tour, and a lot of examples of the guys we just talked about right now. Ben Griffin, Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, getting over that hump for him, Ben Griffin becoming a name in golf, like, that's, it's an incredible accomplishment. And I think these reports that we've heard of some of those guys on Live kind of missing and wanting back in, I believe in them wholeheartedly. And I think eventually we'll figure out a way, but it's going to be on the PGA Tour. I don't think it's going to be some combined tour or anything like that. Because if you are the PGA Tour, I don't know what you got to be afraid of right now. I think if anything, Matt, it's kind of walking back some of the adjustments you did make to the schedule to counteract Live, because you were kind of scared of them coming on and you had to make signature events and stuff like that. So all of that, the signature events affect the rest of how you schedule the year. And I think that if they do decide to relook at that, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I'm not necessarily a fan of the no cut fields. I like more guys playing. I like more guys playing and I like less tournaments. And if you do these signature events, you're going to have more events to give other guys a chance to qualify, and it gets a little out of hand. So the more Live goes into the background, I think the more ease you have to do different things with the tour schedule going forward.
That's where I think the PGA Tour, maybe internationally, maybe have an alliance with the DP World Tour or some of these other tours that allow these guys to go play internationally in the fall when obviously there's little attention. Yeah. You know, because it's on the PGA Tour. And by the way, you did mention the fall series. The Masters, by the way, announced earlier this week, the Augusta National Golf Club, that they're not going to give invitations to winners of the FedEx Fall Series anymore. So, yeah, that's weakened those fields, because that's how some of these guys get into the Masters, is winning those fall events. So what they're instead going to do, they're joining with the R&A Golf Club over there in Scotland, and they're going to give the wins to national open winners, Scottish Open, Spanish Open, Japan Open, Hong Kong, Australia, and South Africa, which a lot of those are played in the fall and over the winter. So they are not going to give any more automatic Masters invites for the Sanderson Farms or the Shriners here in Las Vegas. So that changes a lot of things in terms of Masters eligibility and in terms of how often some of these guys are going to play in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kelly, to your point, we got to expand the fields to 100 in these signature events. Like, there's got to be 100 people playing. If you want to do a cut so that everybody can guaranteed money or something like that, whatever, like, cut the bottom 30 70 make the cut or whatever.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, do something like whatever. Like, you're the bottom 30, whatever. You don't make any money. Like, sorry. Right. If you can't get into the top 70, then yeah, you don't make any money or whatever. But, like, you know, give these people a chance. Maybe it's 90 auto qualifiers and then there's 10, like, they can play their way in some fashion or, you know, or something like that or whatever, these signature events. But, like, it's, we can't just say, like, these are the top 70 dudes and then the rest of y'all go kick rocks up in, you know, Truckee, Nevada or whatever, Truckee, California or whatever. So, like, you just can't, in my opinion, can't do that type of stuff. And so there's, I'll put it this way. This guy supposedly was second to Roger Goodell and was going
to
take over for
Goodell.
Yeah. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he will figure out some good stuff to do.
Agreed.
Because The NFL has figured out how to make you miss it while also staying in the news cycle year-round. It's the craziest thing in the world, right? Like, you miss it, but you have the draft, and you have free agency, and you have training camp, and you have whatever. Like, it's always in the news feed, yet we don't, but we still miss it. So, like, I hope this guy has some ideas here what he can do to better the golf
Matt,
product.
They own a day of the week.
Yeah.
It used to be the church's, and now it's theirs. Come on, Wes, you know it. Come on, you know it.
Concussion. I know.
Such a great look.
Guys, if you stuck around with us for the 40 minutes that we did this, one, we do appreciate your loyalty all season long. This podcast means a lot to all three of us. We appreciate you guys subscribing, rating, reviewing. If you have not done so and you did enjoy this podcast, if you won a few bucks along the way, it does help us a ton. If you automatically download these things and have them waiting for you, that helps us a ton as well. And if you haven't done so over on the YouTube channel, go ahead, pop over there, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, maybe hit the notification every time that one of these pops up over there. That also helps us. That's my only time that I'm going to give you the actual hard sell plea here on all this as we get to the end of the season. But, you know, there are people who look at download numbers. There are people who look at all of the different stuff, the likes and the whatnots and the comments and everything like that. And so the more that we could get here on this, the better for sure. So do appreciate all of the support from you guys. We get it on Twitter. I love seeing that you guys have won money over the course of the season, that, you know, we're getting the, hey, I won my one and done, or I cashed in my one and done, or I did this and that or whatever from listening to you guys on the podcast. We read every single one of those tweets. We appreciate every single one of the kind words and all of that. And so if you could take 3 seconds to do those other things, it certainly helps us out here along the way. Kelly, any final words here? Again, we're not done, but it feels like, you know, we're going to talk to Ryder Cup. We're going to talk whatever, but it is the season ending podcast at least.
Yeah, we'll be back in a couple weeks. You laid it out well. All of that, I mean, for everybody that listens and watches, first of all, this podcast would not have lasted as many years if it wasn't for you. I can't even imagine how much of the chunk of the audience has been here since the very beginning, when it was Brady and Wes and Matt Humans filling in, and this is kind of carried along the way. So thank you to all of those people especially. And I don't know, I was just thinking of something as you said it, Matt. I guess my final thought would be, hey, if you were in one and done leagues, make sure you check back in and see if you won any money, because I actually won a little money this year. And like, Matt, you were there the day I figured it out. I'm wondering if in years past I just thought I figured finished way too far out and I didn't even check back in. So check your one and done leagues.
There you go. There's Kelly. Wes, any final words here as we kind of put a bow on this season?
No, great to do another year with you guys, and appreciate all the audience. I get people that reach out to me all the time, you know, saying, hey, man, I love the pod. We, you know, love the write-ups and the articles. I know you guys do some for the majors and whatnot. And, you know, I write the column every week. And it is a little bit of a labor of love for me. It's work, but it helps me to do well at this thing, is going through that and going through all these numbers and writing these course breakdowns. So, you know, it helps me, and I hope it helps the audience and the readers and viewers, subscribers, whatever category you fall into. I hope that you've enjoyed it. And we love doing this, and looking forward to another good season. I'll be still writing some stuff up for the fall. They probably will not be as extensive as they were during the regular season, because we have this little thing called football starting that it basically takes over our life, and then basketball for me once it comes in October. So these will be a little bit less in depth, these write-ups, but hopefully we still put out good quality for you, and still got an opportunity to make money in these tournaments, both here abroad. Unfortunately, we had to postpone for another year our trip over to Crans-sur-Sierre, by the way. That's
shit.
Omega European Masters this week, so if we keep getting more downloads, maybe they'll send us next year.
I'm speaking this into existence. We are taking long shots on the road somewhere next year. Listen, we're taking long shots on the road somewhere next year. I'm speaking this into existence. I mean, listen, it might be self-funded, but like, we're taking
it might be to Truckee, California.
It might be over to the Shriners.
Yeah, live from Shriners.
Yes.
But we're taking it on the road somewhere next year, so y'all hang out, and we do appreciate all of that as well. VSiN.com, as always, go in. Pro subscription gets you all the stuff that Wes has done all year long. And as he said, we're heading into football, so no better time to get involved over there at VSiN.com as well. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Full Ryder Cup preview, top to bottom, with a special guest to join us here on the program. If that's not a reason to subscribe, rate, review, I don't know what is. For Wes, for Kelly, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your bets.